Hello, this is Mark Whittower, and I am here with my good friend and copywriting master, John Carlton. John doesn't blush easy. I try every time I talk to him. Hello, John.
How you doing, Mark? Always great to be talking to you.
Likewise, likewise. Last time we saw each other was just about a month ago in Miami, and we had a nice heart-to-heart about a lot of things. And one of the things you told me about was your upcoming simple writing system launch. And I know that there's a lot of people who are interested in the simple writing system. And one of the things you offered is to let my readers ask you a bunch of questions. And
yes.
So I sent out an email, and we got a bunch of questions. And I figured we ought to ask you a bunch of them. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, great. So we're here at trafficandconversion.com. And the first question here is from Deke. He says, what do you think of photos and this is really a copywriting question, right?
What do you think
photos and images used near the headline on a website newsletter? For instance, an image, hero shots. The question's about hero shots. So,
you know, Mark, the best way to answer this is to dig into why the mentoring system or the coaching system that we have is called the simple writing system. I actually took out the word copywriting when I was talking to people about what I do or what I can help them do a long time ago because it scared them. The idea of copy seems like voodoo. A lot of people think I can't do that. It's something that takes years and stuff to do. And so I removed the word copy and went to simple writing system. If I was going to do it today, Mark, I would probably call this program the simple sales system. Because at the bottom line, and I'm answering Deke's question by going just a bit around the block here. The bottom line here is sales, is getting a prospect to listen to you in a communication, what we call a sales message, so that he understands that he does want what you offer, that yes, you are the guy that he thinks he should deal with. And C, yes, let's get this done right now. So it's part of a dance or more like a conversation. So if you get out of the idea that it's strictly copy, because what we teach works for videos. If you're going to do a video, you know, video is not magic. A lot of people are doing sales videos, and that's great. And we're doing a lot of video ourselves, but you don't just. You don't sell by turning on a video and standing there and smiling and juggling or just, you know, chattering. Everybody works from a script, and the script has to be written, and what you write is your sales conversation. It doesn't matter if you're writing it down in an email, on a website, put it in a video, present it from the stage in front of an audience, talk to somebody on the phone, put it on TV, put it in a direct mail letter or in a magazine. It all comes down to the same basic thing. You are presenting a sales message to somebody to get him to say, yeah, I want what you have, and you're the guy I want to deal with, or you're the company I want to deal with, and let's get this done right now. So to get to that point, there are certain things you want to do. So hero shots. What that's, if I understand Deke's question correctly, he is asking more or less about, and he may not even realize this, but he's asking about credibility. Part of the message that you need to get across, and you don't have much time to do this, is a little litany that I've said, and this little thing I'm about to say is what set off a lot of the marketers that are out there that have, you know, that give me, you know, that openly admit that I help them kind of figure this out about how to get this stuff, these sales messages written down. And it was a very short thing. It's you're trying to say, here's who I am, here's what I've got, here's what it will do for you, and here's what you need to do now. And the most important part of that four-part little litany is the first part, here's who I am, because you have to establish credibility very, very quickly. That's why we use photos,
by the way.
Because photos are part of, you know, I'm real, I'm here. You know, the old school, we would even go further. If you have a brick-and-mortar place that you also operate out of, you want to say, you know, we're located, or your office. We're located at the corner of 5th and Main, downtown Cleveland, Ohio. We've been here for 15 years. All of the reason that people say these kinds of things and why these things come into play is part of the credibility process, especially online. People don't know you were a stranger often in their lives until seconds ago, where they clicked on your pay-per-click ad, or they got to you through some kind of traffic opening in the web. They went down a slide, took a corner, got up, walked through a door, and there you are. And they have a lot of other things on the plate, a lot of other things they got to do. And in a very, very short period of time, you have to get them hooked a little bit. You have to make them understand that, and especially with pay-per-click, it's really good because they only click on things they're interested in. So you can, that conversation kind of gets started at some point. If you're starting the conversation cold, you have a steep hill to climb. That's why people talk about cold leads being so hard to break. That's why it's good to be warmed up. If you're going to someone else's list and you get an introduction, Mark says, hey, you really ought to listen to what John has to say. Then it's no longer a totally cold prospect. We're a little farther down the line in that Mark, someone he trusts, has introduced John as someone that Mark trusts. So we're just one step closer. However, you're still thinking in your head.
Four steps again. Here's who I am.
Here's what I've got for you.
Uh-huh.
Here's what it will do for you. And this is the most important one. Here's what you need to do right now. That's where most people fall down. Here's what you need to do right now. It's not a question.
For those watching on a video, this is I'm taking notes here. And
oh, okay. I'm watching
share this.
Here's who I am. Here's what I've got for you. Here's what it will do for you. That's where the explanation comes in. Here's we call them bullets. If you're listening to this, you understand what bullets are. That's where that comes in. You're explaining to the person how this fits into your life, what the benefits and the features are, how it's going to translate into your life. And then of course the main thing is here's what you need to do right now, which is where most people kind of stumble. They can get people interested in what they have, and they can get people to admit that, hey, you're probably a nice guy. I probably feel comfortable dealing with you. I do like your product. I do intend to get it at some point. You know what? Maybe down the line I will buy it. So the good salesman knows how to do, here's what you need to do right now, which is, get them to understand that now is the time to buy. It's either because it's a special deal now, there's some kind of limitation, there's some kind of urgency, there's something going on.
And so you're saying, though, getting back to Deke's question, that the issue of the hero shot handles the here's who I am.
Start, or, yeah, yeah.
Even here's what I've got for it, either a photo of you or a photo of the product.
Yeah, and Mark, it doesn't matter if you look like Frankenstein or you're gorgeous. It doesn't matter. I've had a guy who was Hungarian recently talk to me about how he was thinking, I'm going to Americans. I can't let them know I'm Hungarian. It's I don't speak English very well. And I said, dude, embrace it. Be the mad Hungarian. Show your picture. You can make it fun. People want fun. Their lives are constant streams of quiet desperation. So people enjoy dealing with somebody who has some personality, who brings something extra to the table.
It makes it their story. Hey, yeah, some Hungarian guy made that.
That's right. And the story is important because it's not only what they tell themselves when they decide to buy. Because you have to answer. We talk about buyer's remorse. You have to answer to yourself once you bought. It's like, was that the right decision? And if you've done your sales job right, you told them what it's going to do for me and why this is the right thing and who's guy. Then I say, yeah, I trust Mark. I like Mark. I like what he got. I probably could have got it somewhere else. I'm pretty sure, or I'm positive, this was the best deal, and it was because he added so much other value to it. This really was a great deal, so I feel good about this. But you've also got to give him enough ammunition to go to his skeptical wife, his neighbor who always is trying to one-up him, his skeptical brother-in-law, all of those people who are going to say, you bought what? You bought something online from a guy you've never met? You say, well, yeah, I've never met him, but, it's Mark Widow. He's well-known. If you just Google him, you'll find out that he's been in business for, blah number of years, and he's working out of L.A. He knows all the top guys, and you can answer that. So you are arming your prospect to be able to become a customer comfortably with the ability to defend his purchase to himself when he wakes up in the middle of the night and says, why did I do that, and to his spouse and everyone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, very much so. But let me just close this question with one add-on question here. What's better, do you think? A shot, like up at the top of the page, is it better to have a shot of the person who's selling the thing, or is it better to have a shot of the product itself?
Well, it kind of depends where I am, me being the prospect, in the sales cycle. If I am just arriving here, but I've come from pay-per-click where I'm looking for a specific product, say number 9 nails because I'm finishing a project in the backyard and I'm stuck. My big pain is I can't finish this project until I get number 9 nails. Then, yeah, you probably want to have a picture of the number 9 nails. If it's anything else, if it's information like, you know, I'm getting divorced, I need to find a lawyer. If you're doing that, there is no product. So the guy, you know, it's important that I see the guy. Now, I mentioned the lawyer. How you present yourself depends on how you are going to close the deal. If you're going to be a lawyer, you probably don't want to have a goofy picture of you, you know, at spring break drinking beer, you know, pouring beer over your head on the beach. You probably want a somewhat of a professional looking thing. However, you don't want a mug shot. You probably want a picture of you at your desk working, looking up, you know, looking like a normal guy who is a lawyer who's going to help you if that's your thing. You can go however you want. You'll notice that, actually what's cut out there is that picture you're showing. Is there's a tiki god right next to me that actually got clipped out of this particular one. I've used this photo for a long time. I'm out back in my backyard in a Hawaiian shirt next to a stone carving of a tiki god. I just love that tiki god. And I never explain it. It's just part of the thing. And it's very relaxed. It's who I am. I'm not a business guy. I'm not in a suit and tie. All of these things say something about the world that you're coming into when you get involved with John Carlton.
Okay, great. Okay. Good answers for all that stuff, by the way. And you're right. It's not really a copy question per se, but really this ain't about copy so much.
Right.
It's about selling.
And
so here's somebody
again with
a statistical question, right? They say, I've learned everything I can for the past year about copywriting. I sold, this is from
Deke,
oh,
same
guy.
Same guy, yeah.
Man. Okay. I sold a product that had a 0.7% conversion rate on cold traffic, and now he made some changes. He's got 3.6% conversion rate with the same cold traffic. Is that a good conversion rate?
That's crushing it online.
Right.
I think a lot of guys I know would be happy with the 0.7. Define happy. I mean, you know, it's not out of the range of possibility. It all has to do with your traffic. Saying general cold traffic online doesn't define what you're getting. Is he bringing them in through pay-per-click? Is he bringing them in through affiliates? Is he bringing them in through social media? Is he bringing them in through publishing articles somewhere? Is it banner ads on someone else's thing? So regardless of how he's doing it, 3.7 is pretty good. But then again, what does he mean by conversion rate? Is the word conversion or the phrase conversion rate has – it means different things to different people. Is he talking about an opt-in rate? In other words, is he getting 3.7 people to opt in to his free newsletter? That ain't so good. If it's a straight sales thing, then that's extremely good. That's crushing it.
All right, let's go on to Kelly's question. Kelly asks, with the recent FTC guidelines, do you know the correct way to gather testimonials? Do I need a signed document from the customer with a testimonial on it? Can I simply gather them by email? Can I write testimonies for a customer and have them sign it? Do you talk much about testimonials in your –
It's a major point that we do, and we had to actually address this for – we spent a long time on this, and I actually found one of the best online legal counsel who was specializing in this. I can't give out her name. If somebody wants a recommendation, I guess they can go through you. But lawyers got very, very excited last September or October when the FTC ruling came out. People got very crazy almost about it. They thought it was the end of the world. Everything was going down. For old school guys like me, I just realized it was just one more, you know, it wasn't even a ruling. It was a suggestion, as I call it. It's not a regulation, I don't think. It's a I forget what they call it, a recommendation.
They're guidelines. They're the FTC guidelines.
Yeah, it's a guideline.
I have a blog post on it on my traffic and conversion blog, too. But.
Okay, good. So basically the answer to this is, A, I'm not a lawyer and I can't give legal advice. B, I think you, if you have any questions about this, you should consult a lawyer who has experience with FTC rulings for direct marketers. I think that if you Google this stuff and start looking at what people have blogged about and talked about, you will get a lot of information that has been taken through the ringer of good marketers looking at it and trying to figure out what to make of it. And D, you're never going to get a rock solid answer on this. There's the First Amendment. There's the idea. What the FTC is basically doing is trying to, clean up what they perceive as a part of the market that has been taking unfair advantage of consumers. And I'm all for it. Most of the marketers who have thought clearly about this, welcome any kind of oversight to get rid of the scammers and the people who give us all a bad name. Mark, I don't know if you've read my book, Kick-Ass Copywriting Secrets of a Marketing Rebel, but in the introduction, I say, if you have an unethical product or you are scamming people, then I hope you rot in hell. And I'm very, very serious about that.
I remember reading that. From my analysis and understanding of the FTC regulations, first off, they are guidelines. There are no hard and fast rules.
No.
But and what the FTC will do is do some investigating before they come after you. And if they come after you, you're going to have to, they have to make their case first. So make sure all of your testimonials and everything are legit. Let me kind of change the question to you, though, John.
Sure.
You taught me once, a long time ago, three words about creating killer testimonials. Can you share those?
Give me a hint what those three words were.
Short?
Short, sizzling, and what was the third? It was an S. Spectacular?
Succinct?
And specific, that's right. Short, sizzling, and specific. That's right. That was off of a newsletter that I had written. And the idea behind that is when you write a good testimonial, most people take a letter that gets written to them or somebody leaves a phone call and they transcribe it, and it's long and it's boring and the people take forever. They take forever to get to the point. People who send in testimonials are not professional writers. They are not even marketers. They are erring on the side of enthusiasm, but they are erring a bit. They tell long stories, and they are not getting across the point that you want to get across, which is that, hey, we got some results. We're really happy with this. And so it is fair for you to go back and say, hey, thanks for the testimony. I'm really happy you got this. Do you mind if you re-say it and say it a little more short, a little more, I'm trying to put some sizzle into this, and I want it to be specific. So where they say,
can you rewrite it for them and send it to them and say, hey, in the five paragraphs you wrote me, overwhelming and beautiful. Thank you so much. Can I boil it down to these two sentences?
I believe that that's fair. That's kind of like helping someone get to their point. They have to sign off on it. They have to say,
right,
yeah, that's what I meant to say, or that's what I said. You can't put words in their mouth, and you can't get them to say something else. But usually in what they've said, yeah, exactly, re-saying it is, you're helping them with it. I've actually gotten on the phone with them and saying, well, you said, this changed my life. What did you actually mean, Bob? And Bob will say, oh, my God, I was about three, foreclosed on, and I used your tactics and
your debt recovery tactics, and all of a sudden I'm rich and famous.
Yeah, I went after my old customers in my business that I hadn't even thought about, and got $40,000during a fire sale that I did. It was great, and it was able to get me out of blah blah blah. Why don't you just say that? And so what you do when you talk to them is find the story. The story is hidden usually in what they're saying because they are not trained and they don't understand how to say that story. So getting to that story, getting to the heart of that story is...
That's what you call the hook, right? I mean...
Yeah, the hook. And it's okay to call people. Those people are part of the of your credibility. You can say until you're blue in the face, I'm the best guy out there. I'm wonderful. People love me. I help everyone that comes near me. And you can say that, and it's bragging. Someone else says it, it's third-party endorsement. You know, you have to think about this in terms of being at a cocktail party, for example. You can walk into a cocktail party and say, hey, party started, now I'm here, and it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm the guy you should be spending your time with. Well, that doesn't go over very well. If you walk into a party quietly and you walk over to a couch and sit down, and somebody else says to you, that's Mark Widard. You know, he's the most fun guy to hang out with. He tells the best stories. Oh, my God, I can't believe he's here, blah, blah, blah. Totally different situation. It coming out of your mouth, no good. Coming out of somebody else's mouth, it packs what we call the third-party endorsement power.
Well, I remember where you taught me this, and it was when we were speaking together at the Tactic 7 conference in San Francisco a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the example that you shared was somebody had written you a testimonial on about your newsletter or something, and I think the testimonial was something like, I love John Carlton's newsletter. Whenever it comes in the mail, I open it up and read it as excited as I used to be, or as excited as a 15-year-old boy reading his dad's Playboy.
Yeah,
something like that. Wow!
Mark, I remember that. It was one of the early testimonials I got, and I think it's still running on my site. It was I devour John's newsletter like a 15-year-old boy devours a Playboy magazine he just scored. So
there you go. Excellent.
And that's sizzling, and that's a story, and that gets it across, and that's the way people actually talk.
Yeah. You know, let me just share one other thing with you. I ran a split test for a consulting client. I sometimes do. We actually were running a Taguchi test, and one of the tests that we ran, and I did this because I learned this from you, but one of the tests we ran was these long four-paragraph testimonials that he had all over his sales page versus something trimmed down to about, I don't know, five or six lines. And the shorter testimonials absolutely beat the longer testimonials. So,
yeah.
I mean, it came out in the statistics, too. All right, let's go to our next question, John.
Sure.
Okay, well, here we go. John, is sales copy most effective when long, short, or otherwise? In other words, is there a rule of thumb for the length of effective copy? And before you answer that, there was another question down here about writing short descriptions for like a catalog for their online store.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it.
I actually worked for a catalog for a couple of years.
Here we go. Just wondering, Jason asked, just wondering if you consider simple product descriptions on an online store copy, and if so, what rules to follow to keep it short, sharp, and effective?
Okay.
Thanks, peeps, from Jason. So I don't know if these really are truly related, because, I mean, they both talk
they
about
are.
It, but they're very different questions, really.
Yeah, good call, Mark. I can answer it in the same answer. For the long copy thing, long versus short copy, the answer is very, very simple. You are creating a sales message to take a prospect from often not knowing who you are, not trusting you, to trusting you, to understanding that you're the guy he wants to deal with, to understanding this is the product he wants, and that he's going to buy it right now. So how that process is done, well, it could be through a series of emails, a couple of videos, maybe one long web page, maybe a short web page, a lot of stuff. When you add it all together, it's a conversation. You start at the beginning. You work through everything you need to tell the guy to get him to understand that you're the guy he wants to deal with, this is the product he wants, and, yeah, he's going to buy it right now. And when you're done with that conversation, you look back and you see, was it short or was it long? And if it was short, God bless you. You just, you know, you've done a great job getting it across, and the results will tell you that the guy felt, yeah, you know, it was in a 2-minute video I watched. Bob convinced me that this was the best thing, and I was going to buy it. You know, and again, if you're selling, you know, a number 9 nail, you may only need a very, very short thing. We've got the nails. These are the best nails you can buy. They're not made in China. They're made in Pennsylvania with good northeast steel, and they are cheaper than anything you can get overseas. And we're able to do that because we blah. So here's what to do. If you want them, you can buy them in lots of 40 packages and blah, blah, blah. And here's what to do. So, yeah, you can do that. That actually applies to catalog copy. The problem with catalog copy is that a lot of people online doing online catalogs cut their teeth offline with catalogs. And the problem with offline catalogs is that they're printed and you have space limitations because it costs more to have a thicker catalog. If you know, every single square millimeter of a mailed catalog costs money. Costs money to print, costs money to mail, costs money to bind, costs money to all kinds of things go in. So offline in the world of mailed catalogs, space is very, very important, and people learn to when they're marketing on there, learn to be really pithy and really pack whatever they're trying to say into as short of space as possible. And on a page where you're selling entire toolkits, and also on that page you're selling number 9 nails, and I hope people are getting this metaphor of the nail thing, but the toolkit, which is a high-priced item, is going to get a lot of attention and more space than the number 9 nail. So the number 9 nail may only have 2 lines of copy, or maybe even one line, or maybe nothing, maybe just a picture of a nail and a price. Whereas the toolkit will get a headline and at least a couple of paragraphs trying to flip people around to make them understand why this is the best stuff. Online, your space limitations aren't there. I find it astonishing that places that are not limited by space, because they're online and you can write to your heart's content, still kowtow to the rules set out by the offline world. I want to hear more about that piece of clothing from The Gap or from Eddie Bauer or whatever. And in their offline catalog, I understand it's got to be short. They're relying on the picture. There's a lot of things going on. Online, tell me a little more. Give me 4 different shots of the thing. Go ahead and give me a video of somebody wearing the shirt and showing me how sturdy it is and how weatherproof it is. And let me know everything I want to know. Stop trying to shortcut the thing, thinking you have a limitation. If I'm interested in this shirt, and I've just moved off of number 9 nails, you'll notice, if I'm interested in this shirt, or this piece of information that you have, or this course or this seminar that you're offering, then I want to know everything that I need to know before I'm going to shell out money for it. And if you're going to tell me what I need to know, and you're going to say, you don't need to know about where it's made, you don't need to know about whether it shrinks or not, you don't need to know, well, you're making a mistake. Because if you can't sell this stuff face-to-face, then you're going to have a harder time selling it either in an ad or online or something. So you should understand how that conversation goes face-to-face with somebody and what they ask.
What I just wrote, is that fair to say? If you aren't a buyer, the copy is too long no matter what you write.
That's right. That's right. And if you're a buyer, yes. Yeah, it's the old thing, the more you tell, the more you sell. If you go into an Eddie Bauer shop, and there are a few of them left around, I happen to like Eddie Bauer stuff, and you know, and I'm trying to decide whether I'm going to buy this winter coat or not, and the salesperson comes up, you know, we don't talk in clipped voices, you know, where she really watches what she says because she's only got 15 words to say and then she has to turn around and walk away. She's going to say whatever she needs to say to answer whatever question I have. And I'm going to ask questions that would not come up in the catalog. Like, does this thing shrink? Where was it made? You say it's a cotton, you know, a cotton interior, but I'm looking here and it's not all cotton, is it? Is this part cotton? Yes, that part's cotton. No, it won't shrink. You know, they've washed these 15 times, blah, 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 and you start going on. Actually, Eddie Bauer right now, if you go into the stores, is doing a very long story-related marketing campaign based on the fact that the guys who first reached the top of Everest wore Eddie Bauer clothes. I think it's misguided, but they have finally embraced the telling a story thing. They've even got videos going on in there. I don't know what point they're trying to prove, that, you know, 50 years ago a guy wore an Eddie Bauer shirt to get to the top of Everest. But they have realized that if they're going to stay in this game against online marketers who are cleaning their clocks and offline brick and mortar shops that are getting better quality stuff out there at better prices, or at least as good as they are. Again, I happen to like Eddie Bauer, so I'm not trashing him. But, you know, you've got to change your game. You've got to get more into the communication with the person. I mean, it's like, just to stay on clothes, I used, you know, when I was younger, 20 years ago, I went into a Gap by accident, and I bought some T-shirts, and they were the best T-shirts I ever had. They were great. They lasted for years. They fit really well. It was great. Next time I went back to the Gap to buy them, they had changed, vendors or whatever, and they had different T-shirts, and they were horrible. So I was gone, and I went somewhere else. And I think that's when I wound up at Eddie Bauer. So you guys know something about me that I haven't talked about before. But
there's a lot they could learn about you, but I won't mention it.
but the point is, how does that conversation go? The conversation in the Gap went to, what happened to the old stuff you used to buy? These T-shirts are obviously inferior. And the person said, well, we changed the vendor and blah, 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 blah. And I was left with no good reason to stay there to try this new stuff, to trust the Gap to do any of this stuff. And whether you're the Gap or whether you're a person, an entrepreneur working at his kitchen table with his website, who you are is the brand, is the person they're dealing with. There is no Mr. Gap, but if I'm going to deal with them, I want to deal with a person. If I'm at the store, the salesperson is the person I'm dealing with. If I'm online, I'm dealing with them, I'm dealing with a robot, but the robot better answer all my questions and take care of my needs and stuff, or they're not going to make that sale. That's why I like to joke about Mr. Google, Mr. Amazon, because there really is a personality to these things. And you have to keep in mind that at the bottom of every transaction that happens, it's as close to a human-to-human transaction as you can get when it's successful. So even on Amazon, even though you don't know who Mr. Amazon is, there is no Mr. Amazon. It's Bezos, isn't it?
Jeff Bezos. But, you may bring up a good point, and that is that they do have personalities.
Yes.
And, certainly, John, you have a personality. And I think it's important that let me say it this way. Isn't it important for people to have a personality in their writing?
It is, but don't be scared off if you don't think you do. If you think of yourself as a dry person or somebody who isn't the life of the party and stuff, that doesn't matter. When we say personality, we're not talking about the life of the party stuff. We're talking about real people. So sometimes your personality may be, hey, I'm not the life of the party. In fact, I don't party very much. I work a lot. I'm here. I'm that guy who, while you're out having a good time or you're watching a great television show, American Idol or something, I'm back there running numbers and looking at stuff and finding and digging deep on those websites that you don't have time to dig into, so that when you come to me, I'm the guy that you can use as a resource, because I've done the work that either you don't have the time for or you don't actually know how to do it. So I've done it.
Let me ask you a question, John.
Go ahead.
Writing with the personality, I don't know if that's specifically in your course or not, but one of the things...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So then one of the things that this makes me think of is, how can you create... your course is called The Simple Writing System.
Yes.
And I think one of the complaints that people have, or let's see, the expectations or the misconceptions that people have is that how can you systematize something that is so different every time, especially if it's going to include something like teaching people how to have a personality in their website or in their copywriting. So I wonder if you could talk about your course for just a little bit.
Sure.
How do you teach in a system the things that are different all the time, or the things that are so personal?
When I started out about 30 years ago now, I became a freelance writer before ever meeting a freelancer, without clearly knowing what a freelancer was. I had a vague idea, and there were no courses. I had no colleagues, no backup, no boss, nobody to help me. I was making it up as I went along. So what I did is I started writing for other businesses. I just found them and learned how to do this. And each time that I created an ad or wrote a letter or a piece of copy or a sales message that worked, and even when it didn't work, I took a lot of notes. And what I started doing is I created this checklist that watched my back, so that I made sure that I covered everything that needed to be covered in a sales message to make it as powerful as possible, because I'd read a lot of books, I had studied as much as I could back then. There wasn't a lot to study, but as much as I could, I studied advertising. I started hanging around old school salesmen. I started looking for mentors. That's when I found Jay Abraham and then Gary Halbert. And this checklist that I had Years later, people started asking me about it, and it took me almost a year to dredge it back up out of my unconscious because it had just become part of my brain. This checklist, I found out, not only helped me, I found out that it could help other people. That became the simple writing system. This checklist, 17 points to go through, which include how to inject how to figure out who you're writing to and what their needs are, how to figure out what it is you're actually saying to them, how to figure out what you need in support of what you're saying. To get back to that, here's who I am, here's what I've got for you, here's what it'll do for you, here's what to do next. To break that out more into a 17-step thing that if you follow this system, then you put in everything that needs to happen. And the personality will automatically be in there because part of the steps is to remind you and to make sure that you're following this essentially a conversation, that what you're writing or what you're putting in the video would be something you would say to them face to face, and so that they encounter you and encounter your sales message and encounter the opportunity that you present, whether to buy a product or use their services, they encounter it through the conversation in their head that you have joined. You are not talking at them. You are not bullying them. You are not trying to force them to do anything. You are doing what classic good salesmen do, which is help them see in their own head the storyline that helps them reach that point where they say, you know what, this is what I want, and you are the guy I want to deal with, and let's get this done right now. So that's where the system comes back. And the personality part is just a natural part of this, because you, by understanding who you're writing to, what their pain points are, what market they're in, what the competition is saying, you are able to position yourself through this checklist in a unique way that communicates with them better than probably the competition is doing. In almost all cases, once you pay attention to that conversation in their head, you're going to be unique. And that's the kind of personality we're talking about. Not that you're going to appear as Joe Crazy who smashes stuff and is off the wall. You don't need to be that, although that would work if that's part of your personality. You can be that number cruncher. You can be the guy who collects HO model trains. You can be quiet, a guy who likes time with his family and, you know, goes skiing alone. But by letting people understand that, where you're coming from, by going through this checklist and this system, you systematically understand what you need to say and how you need to present yourself for your prospect to say, again, yeah, this is the guy I want to deal with. So right. That's what we mean by personality, not by inventing something, but by taking advantage of what you already have.
Now, John, your course also, by the way, we have, I think, maybe 10 minutes, and then you've got an appointment, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, so I do.
Let me just ask you this question, and then we're going to try to raffle through a couple more questions that were sent in.
Sure.
You in the course, people get help too, right? You don't just give them a checklist, but they
well, that's what's unique about this program that we got going, Mark. It's actually, we call it alternately, we call it a mentoring system or a coaching system or teaching. But what we've done is we've set up an online classroom where you will be in a virtual classroom with no more than 20 other students and a professional writer who has agreed to teach this thing will help you through the 17 steps. Now, what this means is not that he's talking to the 20 other students. It's that you can post your questions, you can post your response to each of the 17 steps, and you will get personal feedback. Personal feedback. He's addressing you. It's like an email out and an email back. So you have got a professional writer who knows how to teach this system, because these guys have been with me for a very, very long time. And they will respond personally and specifically to what you have done in your situation with your business, with what you're trying to get going, and you actually develop a little bit of a relationship with the teacher. I am also in there. We've got other teachers going on. So you have an opportunity to, on your own, at your own pace, over a period of time, we give people 8 weeks to go through this program. You can go through it in 3 days, but we give you 8 weeks so that there's no time pressure. You can do it at your own pace. You go through each of the steps. Each step builds on the next one, and you slowly, not slowly, you can quickly if you want to do it, but at your pace, start to piece this together about how to create a darn good sales message for yourself with a professional writer watching over your shoulder, backing you up, giving you good feedback, not attaboys, but hey, you know, this is wrong, or go back, try this. Have you tried it this way? This looks pretty good. And kind of helping you along the way. You can get as much feedback as you want or as little feedback as you feel you need. It's up to you. There's a lot, it's a structured course. It's not a free for all. You go through 17 steps, but you get to do that structure on your own time. So there's, you don't have to be anywhere for a webinar at a certain time. You don't have, you're not gonna be on a call with 20 other people or even two other people. It's gonna be you and the teacher going back and forth within the only reason
online,
we call them classroom,
not on the phone, but online.
Yeah, not on the phone. It is online. The reason we call them classrooms is because a teacher will be responsible for 20 students, say, and we have you know 100 people or more. We'll get into this. So I have multiple teachers. So you have a primary teacher, but you have other professional writers who are roaming around, helping out, jumping in. I'm doing it all the time. You can network with the other teachers. You can network with the other students.
And you can see all the help that everybody else gets, right?
You see everything that goes on, yes.
I wrote that here even though you hadn't said it yet, but I had assumed that that was the case.
Okay. Yeah, and in fact, it is so cool because my partner, Stan Dahl, set this up. Online, it's kind of like a membership site, but it's more than that because we have something called the Student Lounge where you can go in and communicate with other students, trade ideas, brainstorm, even offer your services. You can say, hey, I offer blah. You know, if you guys want it, I'll give you a special deal or whatever. So if people hang out there, you're invited to go look at what is going on in other classrooms to see how different teachers are handling the same step you just went through with other students. It's great. People really enjoy this. And in fact, you know, we get everybody from rookies, people who haven't even started yet, to people who have been in business for decades who just figure it's now time for them to figure out how to create the sales message themselves. So they're no longer reliant on having to hire somebody or have somebody on staff do this. It's just you can do it yourself. And, of course, the bottom line to all this is that all of the top marketers you know about online, the Kearns, the Walkers, the Phil Sames, the Andy Jenkins, all of those guys, they know how to write for themselves. They know how to do this. A lot of them freely admit they learned it through me. So, you know, they've taken this process and they are totally independent. They are no longer relying on anybody else to write what needs to be written, whether it's an email, a website, the video script. And when it's important, they'll do it themselves. They still hire out. They still have outsourced writers do some of the stuff. But they know what to ask the writer to do. They know when they get it back whether it's good or not. And if it fails, they know why it failed. If it worked, they know where to look to as to why it worked. And so the mystery and the voodoo of creating sales messages, whether it's a website, an email, a pay-per-click ad, a video, whatever, the voodoo is gone. The mystery is gone. You know how it's created. You know what needs to go into it. And systematically, you can write every single thing you need by going through this checklist. It's your total backup system. And learning this really is life-changing. You go from not clearly understanding the sales process or what needs to go into the sales process to make sure that you're covering all the points you need to make, to having a checklist where you just go, ba-dum, 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 check it off. Yeah, I did that. Didn't need to do that this time, but I'll do it next time. Did that. Yeah, covered that. We're covering that. You're done. It's the most powerful thing you can do, and you're off to the races.
Great. Now, we're recording this on Wednesday, and you're launching this, your simple writing system, on Thursday, right?
Tomorrow, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so then below this video, there will be a link to get John's simple writing system course. And I want to just kind of give you a couple of incentives to get John's course. The first one is that John has agreed to do a little private Q&A consultation, a phone call much like this, with people on the phone, John, or submitted questions?
Well, yeah, you can submit questions. I think mostly you're going to be on that call, Mark. I will certainly help you out. You know, Mark, anytime you call, I pick up the phone and we can chat. So if you need to do it. But I think more importantly, you know, you'll be there to be able to watch these people back. So if they get into the program, you know, absolutely, you are monitoring what's going on. So if they have questions or something, they can come to you, and you have a direct line to me, and it won't be any problem to get any of the questions.
All right. So then, great. Well, so I'm going to run all the questions by you, and then I'll run the webinar. And then the other thing, though, that I want to offer everybody is that I'm right now working on a brand new split testing course. And
which I find very exciting, by the way. I can't wait for you to come out with this thing.
Great, and I appreciate that. And in the in this, I'm going to give you the entire split testing course. But more important than that, I'm going to for anybody who buys John's course, then I'm going to do a personalized split testing consultation with you. So
no way.
What I'm finding is that you know, you can write great copy and you can write really great copy, and so you might, you know, figure out that, you know, you're getting a 4.7 conversion rate, going back to the question from earlier. Or you might make a few tweaks and end up with a 5.7 or 6.8 or whatever kind of conversion rate. And look, with your squeeze pages, you know, you should be in the 20%, 30%, 40%, 50% conversion rates for those. And the only way to know whether this great headline or that great headline is going to be the one that really works for you, and that's going to sell better for you or get more opt-ins for you, is to split test it. And so,
let me just jump in. Split testing puts what you're about to learn about creating basic sales messages that really work, it's going to put that on steroids, because you won't be guessing. You won't be just slapping stuff up. Split testing doesn't work. If a bad headline and another bad headline, you split test, you're going to find out which of the bad is the worst, maybe, and you might not find anything at all. You start doing really good stuff. You start doing targeted, well-thought-out, checklist-backed-up writing, and you test that, and you are off to the races big time.
Right. And, well, my feeling exactly, and that's why, I mean, I think split testing, I wrote an email not long ago, and it talked about how the two most valuable skills you can have are great copywriting and great split testing. Because with those two, you're unstoppable. You will always make more money tomorrow than you're making today with those two things. John, you told me that a minute ago was the longest you could go. How much more time can I actually get from you? Or because there are some more questions, and one or two I think that are interesting.
Let's take one or two more questions. I really have about 5 minutes left, and I apologize, but it was my fault. I had something that ate into this time. But we've gotten almost an hour in here. So.
Let me see. This question, let me see which one I want to do here. Well, we already copied about the simple writing system here. Here, this one about autoresponder messages. John, I struggle with writing my autoresponder messages, mostly to the subject lines. I get open rates of about 5%, and I'd like to get more. What simple advice do you have for writing autoresponder subjects that get opened?
Easy answer on that. Most people screw up subject lines. There are technical limitations to a subject line. It's like AdWords when it came out. All of us had the same thought at the same time with AdWords, is that it's haiku. And it's the same with Twitter, same with Facebook. Anytime you have a limited number of characters that you can put in, you're talking about a haiku-type story. And, of course, haiku is the Japanese form of poetry that has very established meters, and you can't go, you know, a certain number of syllables you can't go over. I think it's 757, something like that. Anyway, point being, a subject line is a headline with a specific limit to it. Now, I don't know the exact number of characters that you can put into a subject line, but only a certain amount appears in, say, if your recipient is looking at it in a Outlook inbox, they will see a certain number of characters. If they're looking at it on Gmail, they'll see maybe a little longer subject line. But you can only count on about the first three words or so. So when you know how to write headlines, then what you take away from writing headlines, which is that a headline, even though you may have more space in a headline, to be able to get your hook across, you do want to hook. And when you hook, you have to pay attention to the words you use. And when you pay attention to the words you use, you know they have to be what I call power words. They have to pack a punch. So you can't say, you can say, some guys out there to their list will say, open this now, as a subject line. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, it's semi-serious, but they get higher open rates, and they're able to do that once in a while. Most of the time, though, you can't rely on that. You'd have to say, And of course, you have to watch. You should run things through a spam filter to make sure that you're not making mistakes. But for a while, people were afraid of the word free. You can't use the word watch, like watch this now, because watch shows up in spam filters as the Rolex watch, you know, thing, and it gets bounced into the junk file. So subject lines are subject to all these different rules, which are not laid out clearly, are changing all the time, and you can't clearly do it. So you have to think like a spam filter, like a robot, and you have to think like you have less than an entire thought to get across, and you have to think in the first three words, what is it really important? So the old days of saying, hey, Bob, may still work if you should split test, if your list responds to the fact that, wow, my name's in the subject line. That hasn't worked very well for marketers for a while. So in most markets, if you should get on as many of the top marketers' email lists as you can and critically look at the way they send out email, by the way. They don't use personal names much anymore. That was a kind of a trick. It was kind of cool. Now, not so much. They're not doing it so much anymore. Occasionally they will, and you have to test it. Maybe it'll work still to your audience. If your audience is on a lot of email lists, they are not impressed at all that their name is on there. And often they will use false names or dummy names when giving you their name and email when you're doing opt-in stuff, so that they can tell who it's from. And there's all kinds of things going on there. So in about three words, you've got to be able to nail it. And it could be an emotional response, like, why is Mark considering suicide? You know, so if they know who Mark is and they're interested in Mark,
call it Joe.
I like using the name of the guys that I'm talking with.
Why is the reader?
Yeah.
Why is reader
so,
name?
So if it was from Mark, no, if it's from Mark, you know.
So why?
Why is Widower considering suicide? You know, now you can't, you know, you can't be in there and say, "Ha ha, I was just kidding. There's no suicide here." But you want to tie it in. So then, once in, you may say, you know. And when we're talking about suicide, we're talking about, I almost committed financial suicide the other day. I almost, ran a site without testing the headline and blah, 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 blah.
I'll put the word business in there then.
No, I don't think you can put it in there. I think, but I'm not recommending that you do this. I'm saying the word suicide is an example of a power word.
Right.
Humiliating news about Widower might be a... The word humiliation is a power word. And once you get in there, the humiliating news may be, hey, Mark Widower here. Yesterday I was thinking about, doing my, offering my split test software that I just came up with. And guess what? I didn't split test the headline. So, I actually went with a headline that didn't work. And when I went back and actually used my own software and tested it, it turned out that the other one worked, blah, 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 blah. This is humiliating for a guy who's doing this. However, you don't have to go down this path, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm doing? You're tying it in. So
yeah, you did. Okay.
Basically, it's a very, very short headline, but each word really counts, and you've only got a couple of words. You have less words in a subject line than you do it in an AdWords ad.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay, let's look at one
more.
John,
I know you can go. I'm going to leave that. There was another question here, ironically enough, about split testing. What do you think is most important? Let me ask you this. The most important component of the sales page or opt-in that you can test, headlines, closing, offer.
Yeah, Mark, I'd have to agree with you on that. It's I'm pretty sure you think it was headline, right?
Let me say this. Headlines are certainly the simplest thing to test. But it doesn't mean it's the most impactful. And with any kind of split test that you run, you need to weigh the effort it's going to take to run the test versus the benefit that you get from it. And headline has a pretty good cost-benefit kind of ratio there.
Let me tell you what the old school thinking on this is. By old school, I mean back during print ads and direct mail and things like that, kind of pre-web. The three elements, Ron, that you would look to would be your list, your offer, and the copy. And the most important thing there is your list. So you have to make sure that you're doing a message to market match. so that you're not mailing information about HO train sets to a list that doesn't care about HO train sets, okay? So online, because you built your list probably by opt-ins, you're probably okay with the list. But I'm telling you, the list is very important. What are their needs? What are their pain points? What's going on? The next thing is the offer, not the copy, but the offer. Are you making an offer? Are you offering to sell me number 9 nails at 5 times the price that I know from an easy Google search I can get it, you know, by just bopping down to the local hardware store? So the offer that you make, whether it is an offer of a bargain, or whether it's overwhelming value, whether you're high price, low price, middle price, whatever it is, it has to be explained in my head as a prospect so that I understand it. So the offer is very, very, very important. I can like you a lot. I can agree that this product is what I want, and I can even agree with you that I need to get this product right now or my life's not going to change. But the third thing is I have to decide that yours is the product I'm going to get and I'm going to buy it right now. If the offer sucks, then that doesn't happen. The third thing in that trifecta is the copy, and the copy starts with the headline. Very, very important. And Mark, what you said was absolutely true. It's an easy thing to test, and a headline online, I have helped people with one single word change in a headline by putting in a power word and taking out a dull, lame-ass word, and doubled and tripled and quadrupled the amount of action that they saw, the results, whether it was conversions, hits, whatever. And so the headline is very, very important, because that's the beginning of the conversation. So testing the headline, yes. Testing the offer, absolutely. But you got to get to the offer, and so you got to get to the headline. So I think as long as you're sure that the list is right, that you're making a message to market match, that the message that you are about, that you're trying to get across, matches the needs and the expectations of your market, then the list you can set aside. Although you may want to test, you know, whatever you find works to one part of your list, you know, make, you know, don't take it for granted it's going to go to another part of your list if your lists are segmented by how they came in. You know, high-priced offers, maybe a different kind of an offer, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Next thing to test would be copy. I would test the headlines next to make sure that because you're going to be able to look at, you're going to be able to see stats go up of readership. And I don't, of course, Mark, I don't know, you tell about, you know, looking at hot points on the page, where people leave, things like that. There's all kinds of ways you can look at that, but the offer is very, very important. So all of that counts, but they don't get to the offer usually till they get through the copy. So the headline is very, very important, but you haven't solved your issue by solving the headline. When they get to the offer, you still got to close the deal. Does that make sense?
I'm glad you answered the way that you did, because I talk about, I think about, there's a dozen different things I talk about testing in the split testing course. But the reason that I teach headline testing first is just because it's a real simple controlled thing to teach first. So, but I definitely mention offer, and I talk about how much more effective an offer can be. And let me just ask you this: in Simple Writing System, do they learn how to put an offer together the right way?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there's several of the steps have to do with leading up to the offer, you know, understanding how the offer fits into your prospect's life, constructing the offer so that it makes sense, making sure you've got all the elements in there, you know, of risk reversal, turning up the heat, all of the things that a professional writer either intuitively does or learned how to do or does, you know, in pieces that really work. I have broken all of that down and tested it over 30 years. So this is not, you know, theory. This is real world stuff. There's a real world list of steps to take from a guy who has been at the top of the game for writing advertising or sales messages for other people and for myself for decades now. And there's a lot of other writers involved. It's not just me. This is just hands down the one place to go to finally learn how to get those sales messages written for whatever you do. Again, whether it's face-to-face, whether you're giving a speech, whether you're online, whether you're offline, direct mail, video, whatever you're doing, it all comes down to the message you're gonna talk about. And once you have this down, you are off to the races. You are never vulnerable to anything else. You can have everything else in business taken away from you, all the technology, your staff, the building, the office, everything. I like to say you can wake up one day naked in an Iowa cornfield, not know how you got there, and you're bankrupt. As long as you can get some clothes and get back to being able to write out a sales message and put something together, you're going to get back to where you were very quickly and surpass that even. Most of the top marketers have had setbacks, sometimes complete setbacks, sometimes bankruptcies, but because they know how to create a sales message, it's just a little bump on the road to massive success, and they're back in it again.
Well, I've known you for several years now, John, and I know the effect that your copy has, and I know that the simple things you teach make a huge effect on copywriting. I want to encourage everybody listening, if you sell anything online, it certainly does include words, and you may as well make them words that sell. And so I want to encourage you to get John's simple writing system, and then let me help you split test it. And John, I'm going to bend your arm and get you to show up on that webinar that I'm going to do to anybody.
Okay.
And we're going to answer some more questions for just the people who buy John's simple writing system through the link that is below on this page. And you'll also get the personal split testing course. You get the split testing course from me, plus also a 1 hour, not a webinar, but a private consultation about what you should test and how to test it and answering any split testing questions that you might have. But more important, get John's simple writing system using the link below and watch your business improve. John, any last words? Thank you so much, by the way. You've been here.
No, it was great. Always great talk with you. We got to hang out in Miami for a while. That was fun. And, if anybody has any questions, it's all answered on that page. There's a very good example of a sales message on there you can read, but also this is a very limited opportunity. We only have a certain number of teachers, certain number of spots. We've offered this 6 times before. It fills up every single time. So, and there's no guarantee we're going to be able to do it again. Each time we do it, we wonder, are we going to be able to do this again? I got to pull professional teachers together. They have schedules. These guys are constantly booked up. It's very difficult to do. We're not an institution. I'm just a guy here running a biz who wanted to be able to help as many people as possible, and we came up with this formula of an online, at your own pace, period of time where you can have professional writers watching your back as you go through this checklist system, and it's worked like crazy. You'll be able to see a lot of testimonials from people who have gone through this. It's on that page. So if nothing else, go over and check out that page just to see what other people are saying and see exactly what's going on. There will be no question left unanswered when you're there. And I think if you're anywhere close to wanting to put your life on the fast track where nothing else will ever hold you back, then if you're ready to get into that adventure, then this is a door that is open for a short period of time, will close soon, and I think you ought to jump on it.
Great. So, John, thanks so much for spending the hour with us and for actually going over time about 17 minutes from what you had from the time. You better hurry. And if you're watching this on my blog at trafficandconversion.com, just go ahead and click the link below. If not, just go to trafficandconversion.com/SWS, and you'll get to the same place. And if you order through that link, then you get all those things that I just promised and talked about, and you get everything, more importantly, that John just talked about. So, John, thanks so much, and I will see you in the Simple Writing System.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.